give people a real glimpse into some of our struggles.
Gant, Matt, Pat and Liz, Ben, Stutz.
It doesn't feel like a podcast to me with these five. These are conversations that we're just having. I think they're all just bangers. What's up, everyone? Glad to be back. This is Keaton Turner. You're listening to Turner Mining Live. I've got Thomas Hahn to my right.
What's up, everybody?
Trying to keep me out of trouble, and I'm definitely going to need you on this one. This one's going to be
loaded.
This one's going to be a lot of fun. We've got an awesome dude with us today, somebody that I've known for probably 25 years. I mean, we grew up on the same street together. We'll get into all that in a little bit. I can tell right now we're going to have less listeners on this one because our staff is not going to listen to this. they hear the three of us way too much. They're going to tune out this one. But before I introduce you, I got a question. Well, I'll introduce you first and I'll ask the question. This guy, like I said, he's like a brother to me, known him forever. When I decided this crazy journey was worth taking a shot on, this is the one guy that really believed in the journey. And so this is one of the co-owners, co-founders, and one of the crazy warriors of this ride here at Turner Mining Group, Gant Elmore. What's up, brother?
What's up? Great to be here. Thanks for having me on. And long-time listener, first-time caller.
So I asked a wild question on the last one we did to start.
Yeah.
My question for you is, why does everyone think you're so intimidating?
Ooh.
You know, I didn't think people thought I was intimidating. I think of myself as a nice guy, yeah. As I know you do as well.
Yep. We got that feedback, though.
I was told that people can view me as intimidating. You know, I don't know, because I always feel like I'm pretty nice.
I feel like you're a nice guy.
I don't yell.
I think it's passion.
I am passionate. I do get excited.
Yeah, you two, because I'm obviously opinionated and hard-headed, but you two are the loudest people by far.
Naturally loud. Yes.
And we're
not even really yelling. We're just talking.
And I am also opinionated. And people probably also think I'm a little intimidating because they've seen me go toe-to-toe with you.
Oh,
and not back down at all. And they're like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. We're in the old office.
I was going to bring this one up. Yes. That's a good one.
And, I mean, everyone just stopped. Because you and I were...
We were not coming off of our stance.
No, and we were very convinced individually that we were right.
Yeah.
I still think we were both probably right on that.
Probably. I don't think there is anyone else I know, because my wife shakes her head all the time at me. Right, I'm very opinionated. I always think I'm right. Tracy does the same thing. She shakes her head. Thomas just knows these days. Yeah. I don't think there's anyone else that I've met that thinks they're right as much or more than I do, other than you. So this will be fun. It's so fun to have you around. Our offices are literally right next to each other, glass wall. Thomas is just on the other side.
Yep.
I want people to really get a look at who you are. A lot of people don't know who you are. A lot of people don't know there's another owner in the company. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, you're involved in a different capacity than what I would say gets a spotlight. I mean, and Zach's, you know, he's shining the spotlight on the people in the field.
Oh, yeah.
We're the people on the podcast. You see people in the office sometimes, but you do a lot of different things. And so you don't get noticed as much as everyone else, but I mean,
I like it that way.
there are days where
that was the question I was going to ask Cam.
Yeah. There are days where I think that's a big time advantage. You know, if I had to go back to 2017, and we can go back as far as you want. We're going to try to keep this at an hour. But if I go back to 2017, March of 2017, I say I'm quitting my job. You've been trying to get me to quit my job for, I don't know, 2 years. You've already been in business. You've run a couple businesses. You've done it. What in the world, and I've never asked you this, what in the world makes you think yeah, I'm going to go in with this crazy guy and start a mining company. I mean, what goes through your head? I mean,
you do have to go back further. You've got to go back to, it's 2014. We reconnect for the first time since high school.
Yep.
Yeah, you're working at your former job, and I'm in business school and law school here at IU, and looking at buying a company that was a service provider in the aggregate space.
Yeah.
And so we go sit at the tap and start talking aggregates. At the time, I knew
that was 2014.
It's 2014. Yeah, it was summer of 2014. We were looking at this little company in Texas, and I mean that was what started it, right? And then you and I just said, "Oh,
yeah." 3 years of drinking bourbon and smoking cigars,
and you know, there was a good 18 months to 2 years there where every Friday we were both in town, which is probably one or two Fridays a month.
Yeah.
We would go sit at the tap and drink beers for a couple hours and talk business, talk life, and, you know, rekindled that friendship from our childhood days, but at a more mature level. And we, you know, early on, I was able to, you know, realize, one, the type of person you had become, your work ethic, the way you thought about business, the mining industry in general, and the way you thought about the mining industry, that over that time period, I got to know you and how you work and the vision you had for the industry. And that's what was easy to say, yeah, let's go start this wild ride.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing about the particulars of any part of it. It was the two of us go put our heads together. We can go make this work.
Yeah. Well, you own or co-own several businesses, you know, forestry, software, other stuff. How does this business compare? Because this business is, I would say, and I can say this in confidence, I am probably the least talented and least intelligent guy running all the companies you're involved with. I say that, I know you're rolling your eyes. I say that in all sincerity. And I think in the back of your mind, you know that's true. How does this business and all the crazy stuff we've dealt with and being sued multiple times and crazy growth spurt, like, how does this compare to what you've dealt with elsewhere in business? Because you've experienced a lot of business for being 30. What are you, 31?
31, yeah. you know, in a lot of ways, business is business. It is people issues. It's cash issues.
Yeah, a lot of cash issues.
Lots of cash issues. That doesn't change. And it's a revenue problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that might change if you get to Fortune 500. You know, they have other problems.
Sure.
But, you know, in small business, medium business, those are the things you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, earlier on, you know, in a startup phase, you might have product market fit, et cetera. But
yep.
If you've got a going business, it's what it's all about.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what's different about what you've experienced here and been involved with here versus elsewhere, this is like the true startup, right? This is like, mm-hmm. No one knows us.
Right.
In March of 17. And then people, you know, eventually you got to convince people to take a chance on you and people start to know you. For me, one of the things I've realized is how important brand awareness is and how hard it is for even old companies. Like, there's a lot of companies that have been around. I mean, you're involved in one of them that's been around for, what, 30 years or close to it?
And it doesn't change when you're in small business, brand awareness is always an issue.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care. Yeah,
like cash.
Yeah. It's why I said there's a revenue problem, right? Yep. Because it is, there's more hand-to-hand combat. If you're in B2B services, which is most of what I do, brand awareness is an issue.
Yep. So what a lot of people are listening, like, okay, this guy grew up on the same street as Keaton. They grew up together. You were great ahead of me. So I always looked up to you and your buddies, Forney and Remac and all those guys.
Great guys. And then you learned better.
And then I look at them now and I'm like, oh gosh, I looked up to those guys. No, I'm just kidding. Best guys on the planet. But what people are listening, like, okay, these guys have known each other forever. They started a mining company from scratch. You're clearly not a mining guy. We'll get into that in a second. You've had a really interesting career, college and post-college, and where you're at now. What do you do here? People are probably asking, what the heck does this guy actually do? Because you've done a lot of different things, like a lot of our people.
Yeah. I think I said it before we were necessarily on here. I mean, I'm not sure I know what I do here most days. And I think there are plenty of days that you feel the same way.
Yeah.
And my role has changed and is constantly changing throughout the phases of growth we've had and the maturity of our organization. Very early on, there was some stuff for me to do when we were getting things set up, et cetera. And then, you know, we had no work. My only job was to make sure you got paid so you could feed your kids and your wife.
Yeah. She's appreciative of that, by the way.
And so, you know, you were out hustling to get things going, and I was just kind of chatting with you, maybe more than chatting, but we would discuss strategy, et cetera, but there wasn't a whole lot for me to do.
Yeah.
You know, when there's no revenue and, you know, 1.5 employees, me being the half, there wasn't a whole lot.
Yeah.
And then it's morphed over time where at various times there's more involvement setting up financial systems, et cetera. You know, I like to say I'm the quasi acting CFO and quasi acting general counsel. I'm not a lawyer, just I do have a JD, but
people have learned around here, if it's a legal thing, just go to your
office. Just go to Gantt.
I will get us in trouble. Thomas has proven he can sometimes even get us in trouble.
Yep.
For a big part of the first 2 years, maybe slightly more than that, it was making sure Keaton didn't get us in too much trouble.
Yeah,
he tried to.
I am. I hate rules, and I hate people telling me what we can and can't do. And so that's proven itself out. Like, there are actually rules that you're supposed to follow in business.
Apparently,
that help.
We've had some close calls.
Yeah, we've had. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks, Gantt, for getting us through those close calls.
There are people that would say, you know, I think we balance each other out. And so one of the things I want to ask, and this is something I don't talk about. I talked about it with Witt a little bit, probably privately. I don't even know if this is on the podcast or anything. What's your take on partnerships? Because, you know, obviously the place I come from and some of the people I have been involved with, you know, people think, well, you bet on yourself, you take all the equity, you know, you run the company like it's yours. I'm of a different mindset, not only back then, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, but especially now, having lived through it. What's your take on partnerships in business?
So I actually think you should answer that question first. I will give my take, but it's easy for, you know, as listeners are sitting here, you know, for me to give my take on partnership where I'm not the subject matter expert. You know, I know my sales pitch on why I think it makes sense. I know my sales pitch on looking back, why I think you made the right decision and would hit on some of the things. But I think it's, you should say, give your take and then I'll give my feedback.
For me, it's a no-brainer. And it wasn't a no-brainer, you know, before we did this. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I had confidence in my abilities. I knew the industry. I knew we could get some people together and go, you know, run a fine small company. It's just a no-brainer. Looking back, you know, I can't even begin to tell the stories. First of all, it's as lonely as can be running a company. I don't care if you got 10 partners. If you're running a company, it's lonely. There is a lot of crap that goes on, that not only stuff that we will never get to talk about, but stuff that no one ever sees. It's lonely. Yep. And so when you and I can drink a beer together, and now Thomas, when we can drink a beer together, and Paul and Tracy, some of the other execs, that's awesome. But when you have a real partner in the business, it just gives you something that I think it does. You can't even put a price tag on it. You know, whatever equity somebody gives up to have the right part. Now, what I would warn everyone is get the right partner.
Yes.
Yeah. Like we've seen, and we know people that like, okay, yeah, they're in business with a partner and the other partner is just a turd or lazy, or they don't add value, or they have no technical ability or whatever. For me, it's a no brainer. We wouldn't have survived on the growth trajectory that we were on without you. No doubt about it. You know, there's so many things I didn't know about the financing side of business. You know, hey, we need a line of credit. You get the line of credit, you max it out. 3 months later, hey, we need another line of credit. You know, and so what you've done with our finances is unbelievable, because you can make a ton of money and have no money.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And people don't understand that concept. But what you've also done in just keeping us diligent, I mean, obviously you've got a really interesting background. We'll talk about it in a minute. But for me, find someone who complements your weaknesses. And, you know, I've got a lot of weaknesses, obviously. I think you complement my weaknesses like nobody else. I think when we added Thomas, what was that, 2 years later, mm-hmm, after yep, we started,
yep,
he complimented both of our weaknesses, because yep, you absolutely, and I can both be pretty weak together sometimes.
I would say I agree with you. We complement each other in some ways. In some ways, we are way too alike.
Yeah, yeah. We, especially like one or two IPAs, and we need like a voice of reason sometimes. but to me, I've told you this since the beginning. Of course, I would never look back and say, "Man, I wish I had all the equity. I wish I had more money. I wish this was all me." First of all, for me, that's not really what it's about. But if there is someone that's what it's about, it is about the money and the equity and whatever. I just think that you and I together can build something 3 or 4 or 5 times bigger than myself alone with 100% of the equity.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what we're trying to. So it's a long-winded way of saying it's a no-brainer for me. And I told my brother-in-law Griffin this a couple weeks ago. I don't think I'll ever be involved in another business that you're not involved in, or that I don't have a really strategic partner involved in. Yeah.
Small business is hard, whether it's starting one up, buying one, or just running one on a day-to-day basis. It is hard. I don't care if it's a cash cow and yeah, you don't have certain stressors of paying your bills, it's still going to be hard.
Yeah.
And having someone to go through that with is extremely valuable. And I mean, I remember countless times sitting at the tap telling you, I don't care if you do this with me, you need to go do it. Yeah. If you want my help, I am happy to do it. And, you know, I think for a lot of reasons, it made sense for us to do it together, and completely agree with you. I think, you would have gone and made this successful either way, right? It wasn't, I don't make this successful, you make this successful.
I would have ran out of cash and settled on a couple lawsuits way too prematurely and probably then been more out of cash. So, yeah.
But it is, like, the right partner is going to help scale.
Yeah.
And if you're a subject matter expert with an idea, find the right partner that can help you scale. Whether that's organizationally, whether it's cash, it doesn't matter. You need someone who's going to share the load and can talk to you person to person on an equal playing field and understands the ramifications, understands the, well, we got to make an estimated tax payment and our AR is way out of control. And it's like, yeah, we're making good money, but we're going to go broke.
Yeah.
Making good money.
Yeah.
Which it goes back to cash, right?
And the
like,
bigger the dollars are, the faster it happens.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right? Because like, it's scarier for a bank to say yes.
Yeah. You get up into the, you know, eight digits.
Yeah.
It's scary for a bank to say, yeah, sure, take this money. Right?
And we early on were able to get good credit, and it was, you know, and part of it was I had relationships with banks. We had a good business plan. I mean, yeah. I don't want anyone to think we actually had a business plan.
Never actually wrote it down.
No, we didn't. And I'm not a big fan of writing them down.
Well, we had a guy in Mark that took a chance and he was like, hey, these young guys are smart.
Yep.
But I'm sitting in a room. You obviously went to Yale. Thomas went to Harvard. It's unbelievable to sit here and you tell people small business is hard because you're smart people, right? And you're both sitting here saying and shaking your heads, small business is hard.
Yep.
Think about a normal person with no business partners, let alone Yale and Harvard.
Now, just to be clear, maybe Harvard Business School helps you prepare a little bit. Still not great for small business.
I would agree.
Undergrad at Yale, completely irrelevant.
It is crazy for someone to think they're going to start a business on their own and be wildly successful. It's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens.
And people can do it. People do
it. It happens, but it is hard.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, I had young kids. Thomas, you've got young kids, my kid's age.
Yeah.
You've got a young kid now, Gant. It's, man, even now, which I would say we're a little comfier than we were 3 years ago, no doubt. It's every day is hard.
Absolutely.
You get kicked in the teeth. I used to say kicked in the balls. I've been told not to say that. You get kicked in the balls almost every day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, May was one of our worst months ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And for lots of reasons and COVID issues, et cetera, we've bounced back from it. But
yeah,
when that happens, having another person that is in it with you and saying, yeah, we're going to get this fixed and it's not going to ruin us.
Yeah. And it's something I think we've, you know, at least you and I have always said, you know, when we brought Thomas on, it was a game changer. You know, and same thing with Paul and Tracy, you know, we want people that are really going to move the needle for us and think about things that you and I don't think about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it doesn't make sense for us to have a team of people that are just like you and me.
No.
If we had one more of you or one more of me, this thing would be a disaster.
Yeah, not very helpful. You know, and I think that's the other thing that having the right partner does is it expands your network.
I was going to ask you about that.
So when I think about the various people we interviewed for Thomas's job, the various people we've interviewed for other exec level positions here that have really pushed us forward from a business perspective. It's one of my things that I can, you know, someday, because, you know, I have that whole imposter syndrome that, like, some days I'm like, how have I helped recently?
Well, I wouldn't have hired any of these people without you.
Right.
Like, if it were just me, I would say, I don't need a COO. I'm the COO. I don't need a marketing person. Like, that's where my ego gets in the way. And you get a real marketing person. And you get a real COO, and you get somebody like Paul who does say, like, you look back a year later and you're like, what was I thinking not needing some of these people? You know, I would have never gotten a massive line of credit. You know, it's just, you've helped in a lot of ways. I know, you know, you're one of those people that because you're not working on estimates every day, or you're not in a machine every day, or you're not like Jake, who's
some days I wish I was just in a machine.
Yeah, I know.
That'd be great. I told Lucas today, if he's got any trucks need to go anywhere, I'd love to drive one. But you know, I don't think you can really put your finger on how much you've helped, and that I think that's the way partnerships are supposed to be.
Absolutely,
right? Like one of the partners or a couple of the partners might not add a ton of value every single day, but when they do, it's in a big way.
Yep.
You can't put a dollar amount on Thomas or Tracy or the line of credit or some of the legal stuff that we've gone through. Yeah, like, you know.
And I think in visioning and how you push the company forward, it's in getting you out of the day-to-day. I think that's another thing that as I look at my role, not just – at Turner, but at other companies that I'm involved with, I get to work with really smart, hardworking, but most importantly, great people every single day.
Yeah.
And they're in it on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yep.
And I get the joy of most of the time working with them on the business, not in the business. I work in the business on issues. You know, you talk about lawsuits. You talk, there are things that I am in it with them, and you can never put too much emphasis on being in it with your partner, with your employee when things are hard. And yep. You've got to be ready to roll up your sleeves, to jump out of the plane and parachute in to be in it.
Yeah.
But on an everyday basis, a big part of it is also helping pull them out of it to think about things that are at a higher level.
Yeah. Well, one thing you and Thomas have always done well, and Lauren, I'll throw Lauren in, you know, you guys once a quarter will force me to come to the exec meetings and do like a day or two of planning. And to me, there's nothing more that I hate than going into those meetings. But when I leave, I'm like, these people are legit. This is awesome. Like they've got us thinking about things that, you know, I would have never thought about, or it's just a different, and one of the things I've always said early on, be smart enough to know what you're not good at and surround yourself with people that are good at that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Like you and I organizationally are complete opposites. You know, it just, you know.
That was key when we brought him on, because you and I organizationally are pretty the same.
I know, yep. I know. But I'm a big fan of obviously good human beings. You and I share the same values as this Thomas, as do a lot of our people. But I think even more than that, smart people, and we've seen how adding a few smart people, or one of them presented today, few really smart people can move the needle a whole lot.
Yeah.
You know?
So. I'm curious how you think, we've talked a little bit about building a team. I'm curious how you think about developing a team, because I've seen how you've poured into Keaton, poured into myself, and how you think about that. Because obviously we see the Turner Mining angle of that, but you've poured into a ton of companies. And I think they operate differently because of how you've developed their team.
It's a great question that has been definitely something I've worked on, because as Keaton alluded to earlier, I also have lots of very strong opinions, and I have opinions about things I shouldn't even necessarily have opinions about.
Most of the time that's the case.
That's the case.
At least your wife would say that.
Yeah. My wife would definitely say that. I think, Jake Hubble would definitely say that.
Jake Hubble would say, Gant, this is how long a line boring takes. You don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. Take it less time. Yeah. Less labor hours.
Less labor hours and cheaper. Right? Yeah. It's not that complicated.
Yeah.
So I have to fight that instinct sometimes.
Yeah.
But the only way, and this is whether you're running one organization or involved in many, the only way to multiply yourself is through other leaders.
Yeah.
And it's got to be through other leaders at various levels.
Yep.
And so some of that's, it depends on where they're at. Some of that's feedback on work product, et cetera. Others is, you know, stuff like we do where we go chat and knowing what's going on in business and life. It is saying, hey, I'm in this with you, and here's something I'm learning. And trying to bring other things in from other businesses to say, hey, think about this. Maybe we don't have to go pay to learn that lesson. I've already paid to learn that lesson over here.
Yeah.
And that's another value of a partnership. Like, you have experiences in business and in life and in doing other things that I don't have any experience in. Yeah. And I have some experiences where, you know, you'll hear me on a conversation, you'll come running to the office, not running, but you'll slide the door open and say, hey, I just heard that conversation. Can you make me feel good about this one thing? You know, and there'll be times where I see you giving Jake a hard time about something. I'll walk in and be like, bro, that's just how long it takes. You know, so, but there, I mean, you and we had, you know, we've had some other people on in the past where you get a different lens on how to operate a business. Why not put as many lenses on top of each other? And you always, maybe not always, but ideally you always arrive at the best scenario, the best solution, the best answer, whatever the thing is. Yep. Like if you and I are going at something, chances are if we disagree, at the end of us going at it, we're going to arrive at the best scenario.
At least a better one than we would have if we had.
Independently.
Yep. Right? Yep. I mean, because I have no belief that, you know, neither you, I know this is going to be a shock to you, uh-oh, that you aren't, but I'm not either, God's gift to business. Well, right?
That's like, probably true.
you make a couple of mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes. I think Thomas has made one or two.
I've definitely made some mistakes.
And so, you know, we do make each other better. And I mean, there are times I've agreed with both of you. And I've still to argue with you about it. Because it still pushes us forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've done the same thing. I know you have. Where we need to refine our thinking on something. And that's another benefit of having a partner is, you know, you can't fire me.
Yeah.
You know,
we can be pissed at each other. Drink a beer and I can't get rid of this guy.
You can't get rid of me. Right.
How much do you think of that is your DNA versus the way, cause obviously you're one of six kids, right? All of your brothers and sisters are amazing, super smart people. Some of them are way smarter than you, I think you would admit.
Most. Maybe all.
From watching you guys, you have a little bit different level of leadership, kind of natural DNA. You played baseball at Yale. Then you went on to play minor league baseball professionally. Like, how much do you think is your DNA in what your ability to do what you do and lead teams and challenge people and push back on maybe the popular opinion or belief? How much of that is DNA versus like being involved with sports and teams since you were 5 years old? Because you've always played sports.
Yeah. I think most of it is environmental. I think, sure, there's an element of it that is ability to think and reason. But even most of that is environmental and learned. And so I grew up in driving around, you know, the Midwest, going to AAU basketball tournaments and travel baseball tournaments with my dad. And he was always on his cell phone. I got to listen from a really young age.
The bag phone. Remember that?
He still had one of the first phones in Bloomington. It only worked when he was traveling in Chicago or something. But I get to listen to half of his side of the conversation, his half of the conversation. And you just pick up a ton. So I learned a lot through osmosis about business, about being a leader, that way. Plus, I mean, you grew up in a family of six kids, you learn to stick up for yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, you know, my wife, when she joined my family, which is a family full of hard-headed people, and I've got a brother and a sister, we would do family dinners and stuff, and she'd be like, you guys are insane. You guys are crazy. And then she started doing dinners with me and you and your family, and we go to Colorado, we go to the house where, you know, and she would look at me like, I thought your family was insane. It's a different, it's what your family does and how intellectual they are with conversations and how you guys challenge each other in a brotherly, sisterly love kind of way. It's no wonder you guys are all just successful, you know, crazy, successful, passionate. It's a different level of conversation, but that's normal. Yeah. You guys do that all the time.
Yeah. And that's why I say a lot of it's environmental, because you learn to stick up for yourself. You learn to, sometimes in bad, right, talk over people. I have bad habits from it, for sure.
Took Tracy a while to get used to Gant and I Like she'd start talking, and we'd start yelling. No, we're not yelling. We're just talking.
I just had a point I needed to make.
Well, maybe that's the intimidating piece.
Oh yeah, good point. Yes, that. Yeah. Well, when I want to talk, I talk.
The problem is our brains work in a way that if we don't talk when it comes,
oh yeah,
we lose it, and oh, yeah, we're out of the conversation.
I've moved on to that's why I know I go on soliloquies sometimes. That it's like, okay, yeah, just let him finish and then we can move on. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun though, because I have someone to do this with. Obviously we got Thomas, we got other people now, but I go back to the early days when we got told no for a year. You know, those are lonely times. And if you do that by yourself, it's one thing. You do that with someone else, it's like, it's all right. Let's go get a beer and talk about it and figure out how to tackle the next week. It's just a whole lot more fun.
Yeah, and that's one of my strengths. I'm just a positive person. And that's definitely...
That's your biggest strength. I was going to get to that,
but
you mentioned it, so I want to touch on it. Of all the things you do, and I've told Thomas this, and a lot of people know this, you go drink a beer with you on your worst day. On my worst day, right, we lose a $50 million deal. My worst day, you and I go drink a beer. I leave there feeling like, I'm a $500 million man. You know, you're the most positive, and I love it because you think so high level. You're not. I mean, obviously you're a business guy. You're involved in many businesses. It's about a return on investment. It's about money. It's also about people. But you're thinking 15, 20, 30 years down the road. It's not a return tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. I'm not thinking about next year. And when Thomas was thinking about joining us, we talked to him. It's not about, hey, we want to be the most profitable company we can be next year. Yep. Not even the year after that.
Yep.
We're thinking in not even really 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 30 years. You know, when Andrew and Hudson are older, like, what does this company look like then? Not, hey, can we go beat last year, this year. I mean, it's always nice, and it, and you naturally kind of do that. But you know, we talked about that from the very beginning. Of we were building a long term company, and I think when you talked about like how the sports affected it, and that baseball to me has the biggest parallel to my attitude about things that don't go right.
Yeah.
You know, so, right, everyone's heard it. Baseball is a game of failure, right? If I'd failed 7 out of 10 times instead of 8 out of 10 times, I'd still be playing baseball.
Yeah. And making a lot of money.
Yeah. But I failed 8 out of 10 times in pro ball. And so they said, I was also old because I was a college graduate. Yeah. I'm slow. I'm small. Lots of reasons, but
no, and people that are listening don't know that. So you don't have to
tell them. 6'3",
ripped.
That's awesome. But I always stepped in the batter's box thinking I'm going to hit a double in the gap. Yeah, I don't care if Clayton Kershaw's on the mound or,
was he in your grade?
No, he was a year ahead of me, but he didn't. He was in the big leagues before I was either. whether it's Clayton Kershaw on the mound or hitting off a tee.
Yeah.
I don't care that it's Clayton Kershaw. I don't care that it's a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. I'm going to go hit a double. Yeah. And I could do that 9 times and strike out without even touching it. And I'm still getting in the box next time thinking, he's going to miss and I might even swing with my eyes closed, but I'm going to hit it.
Well, every contract we lose, we've lost a couple really big ones that we thought, man, that would be awesome to win. Every single time, you're like, that's all right. Wasn't meant to be. We're going to win the next one. There's another one coming down the road. And sure enough, another one comes.
Right. And we've made mistakes on them, right? We've messed things up before. And I had this thing in baseball where, so you get to college baseball and pitchers start throwing sliders, and it's the worst pitch ever. I'm still waiting for them to come out with a fastball-only league, and I'll make my comeback.
There we go.
I might try out for that.
Yeah. But, you get fooled and you just look stupid swinging at the slider that's in the other batter's box.
Yeah.
You know, your butt's out. You flail at it.
You're like, wait, it was just right in front of me.
Yeah. And now I just look like an idiot. Luckily, you know, even Mike Trout does that every once in a while. So you don't have to feel too bad about it. But, you know, I would, in a lot of those cases, step out of the batter's box, pick up a rock, a piece of dirt, and throw it. And it was the physical representation of, I'm throwing that away. Because too many hitters in baseball will let that, swinging at that slider, affect the next pitch. And they throw that at bat away. And so we get bad information on a bid or don't get it completely right. And we miss out on a big opportunity. It's like, hey, that's fine. Those things are going to happen.
Yep.
And combining the idea of we're building this for the long term with there's going to be more swings out there. No single project will make or break this company.
Tomorrow I'm going to show up with a box of rocks, leave them in my office.
Just to toss them.
And just start throwing rocks out the window.
Yeah.
Maybe let's get them some soft ones or something. There's a lot of glass around here.
Yeah. Well, we get a little trash can set up so you can just toss it in the trash can.
Because it's so easy. It's so easy to get, you know, emotionally involved. And I always tell people, don't get your emotions involved. And, of course, I am guilty of doing it. But it's so easy to think, man, that was the one I was supposed to hit or that was the contract we were supposed to win. And it doesn't happen, and then you're in your head on the next one.
Yeah, and sometimes it's even worse than looking stupid on the slider. It's a fastball down the middle of the plate, built high.
Yeah,
you should have hit out of the park, and you just miss it, or you take like,
or you don't even swing,
or you don't even swing at it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that can be even harder to come back from, but it's the same concept of, hey, it's done. It's in the past. We can't control that.
Yeah,
you know, all we can control is what's in front of us.
Well, Ben and I, Ben's our estimator, business development guy, we were talking on this exact topic, and, you know, the couple that we lost, it was over $100 million worth of bids out there, and, you know, him and I are talking, and it's like, we don't change our approach. You know, those two got by us, they shouldn't have, at least one of them shouldn't have. They got by us, but, you know, sure enough, a couple days later, another one's right in front, and it makes him and I both, but specifically him, and I think he would say this, it makes him focus that much harder on the next
one.
Mm-hmm. It's like, man, I cannot believe that one got by us. But, you know, it's so easy to look back at the ump thinking, what in the heck happened? How'd that one get by me? And you're standing there thinking about it when the next one's coming.
Yeah. But see, Ben played baseball too.
He did. Yeah.
And there the positive orientation in from an odds perspective, you are mostly going to fail. You cannot underestimate that.
Well, we win. What do we win? One of five bids we put out there,
which means we lose four out of five.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet Ben thinks, just like you and your kind of Clayton Kershaw analogy, I'm going to hit a double in the gap every single time. And you have to.
Ben's a bigger guy. He probably thinks he's going to hit it out of the yard.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Ben's thinking off the wall dinger. Exactly. He's thinking,
I'm going to go yard. It's also true with, you can literally do everything right and you hit it right at someone, right? Yeah. You can do everything right and the equivalent is you run into the buzzsaw of someone else really needs work, has stuff sitting there. I mean, we've seen it, right? Where someone does it for less than our cost. And you say, how does that work?
Yeah.
And that's the same thing in baseball. How did I hit that on the screws right at the third baseman and he just catches it out of self-defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, someone just did one at our cost this week and I'm just blown away. But you know what? I'm not going to throw shade. We're going to move on. What does the future look like for a guy like you? Because obviously, you know, by every measure out there, you're successful. You're 31, good-looking guy, played professional baseball, involved in several businesses. no active lawsuits that I know about. You might have a couple, but none that I know about. none pending that I know about. You know,
I think I'm good at
obviously,
that right now.
I mean, you've got everything in front of you. You got an awesome family, an awesome wife, an awesome little boy. What do you see yourself doing 5, 10, 15 years? I mean, you can do anything you want.
I see myself doing the same thing I'm doing now because I love it. It is growing organizations, working with great people, and pouring into those people. It's what's fun.
Is there ever a day where you walk in this office specifically, which is mostly Turner Mining people, I think all Turner Mining people, is there ever a day when you walk in here and you just don't enjoy it or are not looking or don't want to see someone or are tired of the BS? I mean, do you ever have those days where just over it?
Sure. Of course I have those days, right? there are plenty of days. You have them where dealing with stuff that sucks,
yeah.
Right? I mean, I think when COVID was first happening, there were a lot of those days, right? So I worked with my family on other stuff. And so I've got my couple of little companies that I'm involved with on a daily basis. And then I help my dad out with some of his stuff. And there's some family businesses. And there's some minor league baseball teams. And you know, zero revenue, right? And
yeah.
And you got to make cuts because there's no cash coming in the door for 18 months.
Yeah, that's wild to
think. Literally none for 18 months. And so very few businesses can survive that. And thinking through, okay, how do we do it? And there's times where you're just dealing with parts of the business that aren't fun.
Yeah.
I mean, letting people go, firing people. There's only one person I've ever been happy to fire, and she was stealing large amounts of money from me. So
I could see why that would be the case.
Yeah. So that one did not feel bad. It was still sad because the whole situation was sad. But there are parts of running a business that aren't fun. There are any position of leadership. You know, I don't care if you're the principal of a school, a mayor of a small town, the president of the United States, there are parts of leadership that aren't fun.
Yeah.
That suck. It's just, if you're going to have an impact in people's lives, that's an awesome privilege to get to have. But the flip side of that is there are parts of your job that are going to suck.
Yeah. I've always said the peaks of it, at least for me, this is my perspective, the peaks have always outshined the valleys, but the valleys are so long, mm-hmm. so deep. You know, 4 days out of the week, 5 days out of the week, they may all suck, mm-hmm. but you got that 1 hour mm-hmm. of that one day that was amazing, mm-hmm. and that made all the other days worth it.
Yeah.
For me, that is what business is.
Yeah.
Now, running a business.
I mean, I will say, I genuinely love what I do.
Yep.
Yeah. It's written all over your face. Yeah,
I genuinely love it. And
yeah, but I think you've learned to love even the bad stuff.
Oh, I have.
Like I've seen you and Jake go at it, and Jake's like, well, you know, equipment expense is too high this month. And I can see you're dealing with a big time problem, but you're like a kid assembling, you know, a model train or something. Like
yeah.
it's a problem. Let's
figure it out.
Yeah. But we're going to go figure it out.
And it's fun, yeah. right? It's real.
Yeah.
And digging in, getting your hands dirty. That's the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Getting to solve real business problems, that's just a blast.
Yeah. For me, it makes, at least for me, in my perspective, it makes me feel alive when I've solved the problem.
Yep.
Now, the issue arises when I go home and want to solve problems. And sometimes
she doesn't
want her problems solved. She just wants someone to listen. And I'm working on that after almost 8 years. I'm still working on not solving problems at home. I'm supposed to solve problems here.
Yeah.
But not always at home.
Yeah. It's
a confusing world we live in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to get in trouble for that one. I don't know. This is so fun. I can tell you that there have been decisions that I've made in my life, and I look back and I'm like, I'm an idiot. Why did I do that? Right? Different context. Hindsight's 20/20.
Yep.
I can honestly say, and I don't know if it's a God thing. I don't know if it's just, I don't know if it's fate or what it is, but when you and I reconnected, spent 3 or so years chatting.
Yep.
You tried to get me to start my own thing. And you were humble enough to say, hey, I don't even care if you do it on your own without me. Like, I just, you should do it. The best decision of my life was bringing you into it.
Second best decision.
Uh-oh. What's the best?
Picking who you marry.
My better half.
Yeah.
That's true.
She put up with, up with the last 4 years.
I just got myself in trouble twice in 2 minutes.
You're welcome, Shelby.
I'm going to stay at the office late tonight, guys. But I mean, seriously, it's, and I hope people that are listening, when whatever they decide to do, I talked to a client here a while back and he was like, man, I've been listening to your guys' stuff, I've been following you guys, and I'm going to go start my own company. This is the stuff we don't talk about. There are a lot of tactics you can do. You can do marketing, you can do videos, you can, you know, hire a sales team, all these things. To me, if you don't get the core, the foundation of your business right, like if you don't have the person that's in it with you or the couple people that are in it with you, if you don't have the top of the company right, doesn't matter how amazing your marketing is.
Yep.
I just believe that.
Well, and I think, you know, when I look back on the first 18 months that we were in business, so we were doing work for 11 of those or something.
Yeah.
but math, maybe not quite right, but close enough.
Yeah. Probably 10 or 11.
Yeah. And
no work for the first 7 or 8 months.
Yeah. Think of all the things that you learned, and you came from a small business.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. The reality of starting and running a business. And we had more of those things to learn because in those second 10 months of those first, or of the 20 months where we really started to scale at times, it caused us to have to do a lot of things. But I won't put words in your mouth, but I would ask you, how much did you learn in those first 18 months of doing Turner Mining Group that when you thought about going and starting your own thing, you never would have thought you had to learn because you came from a small business.
Yeah, you're never ready. I would equate it to kind of like what you feel like when you get out of college, right? You're like, oh, I know everything. I just went to college. I got a degree. You get out and you do your first year in real world business and you're like, holy crap, I didn't know anything in college. I didn't learn anything. I just learned a lot in my first year. I was in business then for my uncle's company, I don't know, for 7 or 8 years. And thought I knew a lot. And I was like, oh, I'm ready to start my own company. Then the first year of starting your own company, you're like, holy crap, I knew nothing. You know, and you learn. I mean, it's just different when it's yours. It's different when it's yours. It's different when your family's food is on the line.
Absolutely.
You know, it's wild. The first 8 months were like the dark. And I had, you know, what I would consider my best friend as my business partner. And it's the darkest 8 months of your life.
And you were still pulling a salary.
Yeah.
Not a big one, but you're pulling a salary.
I cannot imagine the people, and I think of like the single moms who like start a cafe or a restaurant or something. Yeah. Like,
absolutely.
How in the world does someone do it and then go be successful? And I just think it's surrounding yourself with people that are better than you, smarter than you, different perspective. And maybe you can't always afford it, but find someone that can take a small portion of, you know, the pie, you know.
And even if you don't have a partner in the business with you, having the support network surrounding it. And I think it's invaluable to have someone who's actually in the business with you. But for certain scaled business or, you know, subscale businesses, it doesn't make sense. It's in no way do all businesses need partners. At certain scale, I think it is extremely helpful. But so even if you don't have you're not going to build the scale that says this can support two people.
Yep.
There's the element of having someone who is willing to go on the ride with you outside of your family that is going to challenge you, support you, encourage you, ride the ups and downs with you.
Yeah,
in a real way.
Your wife doesn't count because you have a responsibility to provide, or your husband doesn't count if you're a woman. Like, you feel so obligated, at least I did.
Absolutely.
To like oh, I better go make this happen because she's counting on me. Oh, yeah, I've got her love and support. That's great. Doesn't mean much when you get told no every day, right? Because now I'm feeling obligated to go do more. You know, it's kind of a vicious cycle. Yeah. I agree. It's got to be someone outside of your direct family because your mom's going to tell you you're the best. Your dad's going to tell you go kill it. And your wife's going to tell you she believes in you. But when the rubber meets the road and you're not making anything happen, all that is just kind of fluffy, fancy, feel-good stuff.
Yep.
You need someone that will kick you in the balls and say, well, your strategy sucks. Yep. Your approach to this client wasn't right.
Right.
And you need someone who understands your business.
Yes.
And understands the ultimate goal of the business, where you're at in that life cycle, and is willing to have those hard conversations with you. And you also have to respect them. And you have to say, yes, they do have a grasp of what I'm trying to do here. You know, and I guarantee you at times I've said something you've thought, oh, you don't, you're too far removed from this part of it. And in the moment, right? In the, not that you wouldn't think about it later and take it into consideration, but that's just life.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, but what I've learned is that sometimes your craziest ideas, or you're like, because you'll come into a situation where we're trying to win one and you'll be like, well, I don't know anything about this, but what if we did this? I'm like, well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. But it gets a conversation started that's like, okay, well, that was the dumbest thing, but the thing that's close to that is actually pretty sweet. Exactly. Like, it, you know.
So clearly it wasn't the dumbest thing.
Exactly.
I think it has taught me that unconventional ideas and approaches to problems in business, people pay you for that. Yeah.
And it's right. It's why, it's one of the reasons why we work well together, because we both believe there shouldn't be any rules.
Yeah, I hate rules.
And I just get my whole life I've hated rules.
Yeah.
Not a rule follower.
I'm not going to get myself in trouble. I was going to talk about masks, but I'm not,
oh boy.
I'm not going to get myself in trouble. What do you got, Thomas?
I'm curious, Gant, on when you look at the future of our company, because we've talked a lot about how you have shaped kind of where we have gotten to, and we've talked a lot about a vision kind of into the future, but I'd love kind of how you see that journey kind of unfolding.
It's a big question.
Hopefully it's positive.
No, of course.
He is Mr. Positive. We've already established that.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, I mean, the three of us have had conversations about what this looks like 50 years from now. Well, maybe not 50, but 40, 30.
Yeah.
And building a long-lasting company, and that we're putting those building blocks in place now. You know, I think back to, you talked about those quarterly executive team meetings. I think back to one of the early ones. Thomas isn't even around yet.
Yep.
It is you, me, and Lauren, and we're talking about what we want to build and what, why we're doing this. I don't even think we had any revenue yet. I literally think this is like,
this is early.
That's when I really hated the meetings.
Oh yeah. This is probably June or July 2017. So
this is before you and I even talked.
Yes.
Maybe the first time we're doing one of these then.
I think it was maybe the second. Maybe we had a little bit of revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think first shovel was in the dirt in October.
I think, yeah.
It was early. So yeah, maybe we were doing 30,000 revenue a month and, you know, losing 20.
Hey. Yeah. That happens.
But that was a really great first project.
Yeah, you're in. What do you say to Hayden? What do you and Hayden say? Income
greater than outcome. Inflow greater than outflow.
Inflow greater than outflow. That's the goal.
Yes, that's the goal. We haven't gotten in with about like the fact that you actually have to bring the cash in. It's not just like billings, yeah, but
accrual.
We're not worried about that. The fact that Hayden's, you know, super focused on that, I'll take.
Exactly. We'll handle cash on the other side.
Yes. But you know, it's super early and we're talking mission and purpose, and we've subsequently done a bunch of work on our values, and there's an awesome video that's about to drop that.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe it has, based on when the podcast gets released. I don't know.
That's true. Maybe. Yeah. It'll probably go before this.
Yeah. So it's already out there, but that is highlighting our values and our values work that we did with lots of early employees, mm-hmm. Of Turning Mind Group. But before any of that, you know, before there were, I think, even any employees, we were talking about our purpose. And yeah. It's a purpose that we created before we did any work and still holds true. And we truly live by it to this day. And you know, we got to it over a course of, a half a day or something. But we had no work and we're sitting there spending a half a day figuring this out and came up with make life better in the mining industry.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I think about 30, 40, 50 years from now, the future, it's still that.
Yeah.
We're going to be around and we're going to be living out that purpose. It is people centric, but you have to, there's a vision and a scale behind that. We don't want to make life better in the mining industry for 10 people.
Yeah.
We want to do it for 10,000 people, 100,000 people, yep. Right? And because it means employees, it means our suppliers,
yep. Vendors,
it's our clients.
Absolutely.
And so the great part about being in business is people. And it's not just the people you get to impact within your company. It's all of the stakeholders throughout the ecosystem that is your business. And we have a long runway and there's lots of work to be done. We're going to stay true to doing that. And that's one of the other benefits of having partners is you can hold each other accountable to what are we here to do?
Well, the video you talk about, and we'll, when Zach airs this podcast, we'll have a link to it. We should have a link
to it.
But my favorite part about it is that everyone's smiling, right? All the employees in the video, they're smiling, they're having a good time. Now, our employees don't smile and have a great time every single day, right? Like, this is hard work. But when the company is focused on making life better for our people, for our vendors, for our subcontractors, for our client, like, if that's the mission... It's not return investment to the stakeholders. It's not if the mission is to make life better, like that's a great mission to have.
Absolutely.
Not only 3 years in business, 30 years in business.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just love that I asked Gant a question about the future and he went back to a meeting that was pre-revenue. Right? Like that says a lot to me, right? That has an intentionality. That has an awareness. It has a conscious kind of path setting, right? And that to me, I mean, from an employee perspective, right? Like that's the reason why you get on the boat.
Well, we bust people's balls around here about money and you know, some projects that aren't making money or the money that it should make. It's like, you know, we've said this before, at least I've said this before. It's, well, this is not all about money here.
Yep.
And so someone could say, well, then why are you busting my balls about this project that doesn't make money? You cannot scale a business and you cannot impact the industry and you cannot make life better in the mining industry.
Exactly.
If you're not making money. I don't care who says what. company is not making money, you don't get to hire more people.
Yeah. No, you can't.
You don't get more equipment. The bank doesn't lend you more money. You know, like there's a whole succession thing here that happens. You have to prove the business works.
Correct.
There's probably plenty of people in this office who would think oh, Gant doesn't believe it when Keaton says that. That Gant's not on board with,
oh,
it's not all about the money, right?
Well, you got Jerry Maguire. Jerry
Maguire is written on the glass.
Show me the money.
Show me the money, right? And
it's not so you can buy a Ferrari.
No, it's not.
No.
It's so that we can stay in business. It's so that we can impact, have a bigger impact on people.
Yep.
And we have to have a sustainable business.
Yeah.
And
companies that employ 1,000 people have made a profit to keep adding people.
Absolutely.
Because the executive team's like, hey, it's working. Let's add more people.
Correct.
And you don't add more people when it's not working.
Right. And it creates a buffer for when something goes wrong. Right. It's not that, and that's why it can't be, oh, we're squeaking by.
Correct.
That's why squeaking by isn't acceptable.
Yep.
Because if you're squeaking by, eventually you're going to hit a bump in the road.
Yeah.
That is ends up being more than a bump in the road because you were squeaking by and you have no margin for error.
Yep.
Well, 6 months ago, the three of us were sitting at probably at the tap having a beer, and I told you both, we're not bidding any more work. And it wasn't because we're so rich we don't need to bid work. It was because we hadn't optimized and ran our current operations efficiently enough. Why would we go add more operations and more people? Like, we had some operations making great money, some operations, they're doing okay, and some operations losing money. That doesn't give me the confidence, let's go hire 100 more people and do 10 more projects.
No.
So it, and I'm so glad you say that because I totally agree, especially the people that wrote Jerry Maguire on your window or on your door. Like, adding profit to the business is not us padding our pockets and buying yachts and Ferraris. It is building the business, adding more people to the team.
Exactly.
Creating something real. I mean, yeah, it's great to impact 100, 200, 300 people and make their lives better.
Sure.
I'd rather make 1,000 people's lives better.
Exactly.
You know? So, I don't know. It's a different lens. A lot of people don't get this lens, though. You know, we don't talk to a ton of real business owners, and especially the other business owner in the business. And so it's interesting glimpse into how we are thinking about money, profit. Businesses exist to make money. Well,
and improve lives. And at the same time, you and I need a buffer because the first thing that happens is we stop getting paid.
Yeah. Yeah, we're the first people to stop getting paid. And that's absolutely happened
because you're the
many
last
times.
People to get paid.
We're the last people to get paid. Yeah. And it's happened many times, right? Yeah. And it's when we started, luckily I didn't have any kids or anything at the time. So I took my salary. Instead of paying myself, I paid you.
Yep.
Right? And like that until we thought, oh, we'll have work in
30 days,
60 days, like, oh, Keaton will start covering his salary. It'll be no problem.
Yeah, it took a little bit longer than that.
You know, 10 months later, we do our first job and we lose money. So that didn't count.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, wait, I got to figure this business out.
Yeah. But again, I thank you for the answer because the lens and kind of the awareness we're able to provide of how focused from the beginning this organization was, that's the thing that nobody gets to see, right? Keaton can tell all the stories he wants, but unless somebody else is here to validate that, they're like, oh yeah, that's Keaton telling a story.
I wish we could have documented all that back then. We posted on Instagram, but a lot of it was, you know, Adobe Photoshop pictures and blah, blah. Like, it was...
We might have the flip chart
of that somewhere.
Oh, gosh. It was wild times. But, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. And that's what I love is that we're young. And I've said this many times. I don't think anyone ever really believes me. I know you believe me. You and I could fail. And Thomas, now you believe. We could fail 3, 4, 5 more times, right?
Run it back.
We'll find someone to give us some money at some point.
I think I was the first one who said, if this thing fails, we'll just try again.
Just do it again.
Let's try again.
But to me, I think you have to be a little bit that level of crazy to do it.
Yeah.
I got a DM today on Instagram. Somebody said, hey, I'm starting a business. How do I hire people? And how do I, I'm like, man, if you're asking those kind of questions, you probably aren't ready. And I don't know that you're ever really fully ready to start a business.
Yeah.
But you know, sometimes you just have to jump and figure it all out. Hopefully you have a person that can help you figure it out. In my case, I got lucky enough I did. But I don't know. It's been a wild ride nonetheless, and my hope is that it's only going to get wilder.
I think so. And you know, it will, because I think most people who know us would say, yeah, those are two of the craziest people. I know. Right? Like I've got friends who do lots of like very impressive things. Yep. Most of them look at me and say, you're insane.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And you can appreciate this from your days in business school, right? I'm in business school and you know, it's all focused on big companies and all this stuff. And there's a lot of talk about what are you going to do? It's like, I'm just going to go run companies, start them, et cetera. No one gets it.
You know, no.
I have an educational background that people say, oh, that's impressive. And you know, literally they know it's not actually that helpful. I learned some stuff and that was helpful.
You probably skip more class than you attended though.
Oh, well, I bought my first business, my start of my third year of the 4-year JD MBA program. So really my second year of law school, I basically stopped going to class. At one point, the dean made a comment of like, to my dad, that, hey, you need to tell Danny he needs to show up to class every once in a while. I'm like, I'm too busy.
Yeah, at least show up.
You know, I'm out here trying to grow a small little company.
Yep.
And I'd go to class and then head to the airport on Wednesday night and
disappear.
Yep. But I think you have to have part of that craziness to say, yeah, if it fails, it fails. I'll do it again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and what, you wouldn't work for somebody, at least not long term.
I had an entrepreneurial professor in business school who, you know, so he got it right. He'd started companies, run companies, and he's like, yeah, you're unemployable.
Yeah,
and I'm completely unemployable.
Oh yeah,
completely. Yeah. Like,
Now.
If I needed to, would I go?
You could cook a mean steak.
Would I go over to Yonko's and say, hey, I'm here to work the grill so I can put food on the table for my family? Absolutely.
Like, ribeyes for days.
Yeah. But am I employable in the normal sense? No, because
you would be fired within a week because you would want to change. You would want to change their borrowing base.
not only would I want to change things, I would just start changing things because that's what I do.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't ask permission.
You're getting killed on your borrowing base. We're changing the marketing plan. These images are
It would be something. That would be fun to watch.
Let's not make that happen.
No, we're not going to make that happen. It would just be cool to be cool to kind of just see that.
Well, we're probably past our time.
Yeah.
Tracy's not here to yell at us, but it's been a blast. We could do this for hours. We normally do this for hours.
Yeah. We have. I think the first time we talked about doing this, we were at one of those executive team meetings over a glass of wine. We told the story for 2 hours. Oh, so,
That was a condensed version of what happened from 2017 to now.
We missed some of the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good stories. We'll do it again.
Yeah.
We'll do it again.
We'll get Kate back. Do it again. For sure. Awesome.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. It's been a blast. We really appreciate you spending your time with us and getting to know us a little bit better. Hopefully, you tune in again next time.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody.